This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. I thank you for tuning in. Today I want to share with you the gentle power of God. Now, I've been to many great meetings and services and halls and churches, and I've witnessed miracles, blind eyes open, deaf people here healed, cancer, people being healed of cancer, people coming out of wheelchairs. I've been involved with great choirs, the music so powerful, and the presence of God so real that the room would just glow with the presence of God. But one thing we need also the gentle power of God. That's what we need today. And today I have a guest from Open Heaven Ministries, Harold Oberschlake. Now, Harold Oberschlake and his wife Donna have been in ministry many years, 40 years. And about 25 years ago, something happened. Let's hear Harold's story now. Hi, Harold.
You know, I received this, I just call it impartation from the Lord, through the laying on of hands in 1995. And totally foreign to me that, you know, what I saw, what I was a part of, but I've always been pretty open to, I don't have to understand everything. I'm secure in my walk. So anyway, I just, when they offered prayer, which was three times a day, because there were three services a day, and the prayers were impartation-type prayers. So three times a day, I would go in the back of the building where everybody got prayer, and there might be 1,000 people back in the back receiving ministry. Every day, I had probably at least 100 times people come by, laid hands on me, just prayed a very simple blessing, a very simple impartation-type prayer. And when I came back from that meeting, even though I didn't really feel much of anything, honestly, I mean, I enjoyed the whole week, but I didn't feel any major moves of God. I didn't feel any, you know, what we would, you know, call manifestations of the Spirit on my body or in my body. I didn't really feel that much at all. All of a sudden, I was walking in an anointing, a power, an authority, a presence that I wasn't walking in before I went on the trip. And everybody that knew me could see it. I mean, not only could I see it, or my wife could see it, but everybody could see it. And that was the beginning of a new branch of walk in my Christian life that had launched us forward, served in a pretty good-sized church for many years, and then 2004 started the ministry that we're overseeing now, Open Heaven Ministries.
Open Heaven Ministries. Impartation. What is that?
Impartation to me, everybody's got a little bit different spin on it, but to me, it's just the simple thing of when somebody lays hands on you, prays over you, blesses you, it's like an ability from God to impart to others what God has given you. So you... it's more about presence of God. So the presence of God was being imparted to me that all these, you know, 100 people, when they would lay hands on me, and they prayed very simple prayers, you know, like, I bless you, and, you know, come Holy Spirit, more Lord, really, really simple. One, two, three, four, a word, prayers, blessings, impartation. You know, I don't remember anybody saying, you know, I impart to you, you know, they didn't say that. They just laid hands on everybody, you know, individually, you know, very gently, and blessed the person. Impartation is letting the power of God, letting the anointing of God that you carry flow from your body to another individual. And the more open the individual is to receive from God, because it's really God who does the imparting. I mean, we do the laying on of hands, and we can pray the prayers or just the blessings, but the power of God behind all that, the power of God that we carry, the anointing of God that we carry is what makes all that really work for our benefit. And then since then, one of the things that our ministry flows very strongly in is impartation. But it makes sense to me because that's how I received this new launching forward in the kingdom, was from impartation, from all these people laying hands on me in Toronto in 1995. And then we went back several times after that, so we made half a dozen or more trips, and you kind of received a refreshing, infilling, additional hands laid on us over a period of years. And now it's a regular part of our ministry where we actually even have meetings in the greater Cincinnati area where we worship God anywhere from 2 to 3 hours live worship, and I have a prayer team of people that go to 15 to 20 different churches, you know, but we, you know, they come to our stuff, we train them, we raise them up, and a lot of those people become part of our prayer team, and then we go around imparting to the people who attend. We just go behind them, lay our hands on their shoulders, and most people are seated when we do that, so we just go behind them, lay our hands on his shoulders, we bless them, we impart what we have to them. If we get a prophetic word, we give it. So we've seen lives just be totally, radically changed, like mine was, and I believe one of the main reasons is because our ministry, one of our primary anointings is impartation. So when we pray impartation prayers over people, it actually does something. So anyway, that's a very simple, I don't know anybody could understand it fully, but we know it's a form of when Peter walked down the street, when his presence, the Bible says his shadow, and it could have been his literal shadow. I think really it was his presence that he carried, his anointing that he carried. That's just my opinion. When you get within a certain proximity of Peter, people got healed, and then people started realizing that, said, oh my gosh, you know, have you noticed when you get close to that guy, you know, your sickness goes away. And they recognized it so much, they started literally bringing people and putting them along the road that he would walk by. That's a form of impartation as well. You know, he probably didn't touch all those people, but he got near all those people. So I think he walked in a really high level of impartation, meaning that what he carried, you know, in God, his anointing, we'll call it, his anointed presence, got close to people, then they got healed. And, you know, Jesus did it all the time, right? He laid hands on people. He prayed over people. So my opinion of and how I see impartation.
There is a presence of God I feel around you, a warm, gentle power around you and your wife. Some years back when you and I were recording, I was having deliverance ministries on the radio, but I was concerned about using the word deliverance ministry. And so at that time, we come up with the word inner healing, which might describe it better, maybe a good definition of deliverance, inner healing. And it's a confidence and a sweetness that makes a person, well, I think I want that deliverance or inner healing.
Yeah.
And that's remarkable. And your wife with you too, she exudes that also.
Well, we appreciate that. You know, you speaking of deliverance and inner healing, you know, I received this, I just call it impartation from the Lord, through the laying on of hands in 1995. And then in 1996, I had the privilege to be trained by a deliverance inner healing minister named Pablo Batari. And Pablo, every time he was in our area, I got to spend one-on-one time with him. And so, I considered him my mentor, even though, you know, he didn't live in the area and I didn't get it set under him for extended period of time. But when he was in the area, I got to hang out with him and ask him questions and grow. And so I have been teaching inner healing deliverance and doing some travel, doing it as well, which I think is when I met you I was on a trip about 5 hours from where I live. And, you know, inner healing and deliverance is something when my wife and I started that, and I started teaching that in 96, it was not well received. So I fully understand what you're talking about. Most churches stayed away from it just because of the how they saw deliverance, what they thought about deliverance, was because of their history, because of their past experiences. In some cases, people have a view of the word deliverance because of, you know, they watch movies like The Exorcist and things like that. And, you know, in any Hollywood movie that's about deliverance, at least 99 times out of 100, the man of God, the woman of God, they always get really hurt or killed or, you know, whatever. So I think even the enemy tries to bluff us and want to get us scared to never, you know, do anything in confrontation with him. He's like, leave me alone and, you know, or I'll beat you up. In all reality, we have authority to set the captives free. And so we took what was taught us in 96, and I didn't change, say, the method, so to speak, but what I did do is I started focusing on the love of the Father. And so every single deliverance that we do, every single inner healing prayer that we do, we always go at it from a place of love. And so people feel loved all the way through the process. They feel safe all the way through the process. They feel so protected. And then they trust us because they don't sense a battle. They don't sense a war. Because for me, it is no battle when I do inner healing deliverance prayer. It's no battle when my team do inner healing deliverance prayer. In the sense of, I mean, I get that you could say that's spiritual warfare, and I understand that. But in the sense of, it's no battle to me because, in my opinion, Christ already won the war. You know, he said it's finished. Everything we'll ever need is done. And I just see myself as reinforcing the victory in the, that he did. I reinforce that victory in the lives of people. So I don't have to win the war. The war's been won. I reinforce the victory. And so, you know, there are intruders that get in our life. There's intruders. There's things that happen to us that these, a lot of people call them open doors. And so the enemy, sometimes we do something that can open a door. Sometimes things are done to us that the enemy can mess with us at a higher level. And so in a very loving, caring way, you know, we have a very user-friendly, basic, simple approach that is just extremely, extremely successful and effective. And so for us, deliverance is just helping a hurting individual not hurt anymore. It's as simple as that. Like, you know, you have emotional issues. You have these soul bindings, you know, in your mind, will, and your emotions. And we help you. We don't do all the stuff in our model for a person. They work with us. And so they're part of their own freedom. And we have seen our success rate is just incredible because everybody we pray for, they participate in their own freedom process, their own freedom prayer. And we don't see too many people who fall back into the old ways. Especially in things like word curses and unforgiveness and sexual abuse and physical abuse and verbal abuse and the occult, people that have been involved in all that. We just seen story after story after story now for literally 25 years where this model works very, very, very well. And, you know, Jim, a lot of people have been raised in a church that says if once you're born again, you can't even have any of these type issues.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I was talking to a lady last week, and two different churches in her area were teaching the younger people in the church, you know, the 20, 30, 40 year olds in the church, and saying, once you're saved, you don't need any of this kind of inner healing stuff because you're a new creation. And so she called and talked to me about it. I'm actually going to go to her church and do a training. And You know, my take on that and my experience is every person can have wounds from their past that still affect them. And the sin of what happened to you, if you did it, you know, and you repented, then the sin has been forgiven, 100% forgiven. It doesn't mean there's still not some consequences in your life that still bring you pain and suffering. And we just deal with the consequences of the past, the consequences of the hurtful things that still linger, you know, and we don't try to dig up issues. We don't try to go, we sure don't go, you know, looking for a devil under every rock. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. But when people are hurting and they can't seem to move forward, we have a very effective way to help those, help them get healed up emotionally, get past those wounds. And, you know, a Christian can't be possessed. I 100% agree with that. But we can be influenced by the demonic. And that's what I call it, just demonic influence and demonic attachments. It's just, you know, you got a spirit of fear maybe just messing with you, and you just can't seem to 100% shake it. Or you're holding on to unforgiveness, and you just can't seem to forgive. And you know, some of this stuff is really hard to do on your own, and you need some people to come along that actually know what they're doing and come along and just, you know, give you a hand, help you move forward so you can move forward into your own individual destiny and purpose and fulfill whatever God has for you. It's been a beautiful ride. We're still doing it. Literally every month we do 1-2 trainings a month. We used to do a couple of months, and then, you know, we had this COVID thing that hit, and, you know, that rocked a lot of churches. And so we continued to do one, and now we're kind of getting back into do a couple a month. So anyway, and you know, another thing that we talk about in that class is how much authority believers have. And I had a lady last night in a discipleship class that I was teaching. She told me that the number one thing that she got that impacted her personally the most was she has spiritual authority. And she just kind of never thought about it like, you know, like that. She never tried to really operate in it. And that's another big thing that I see in the body of Christ, that if we understood how much authority from the Lord, you know, it's His Spirit flowing through us. If we understood how much authority we have in the spirit realm, boy, we would be able to see way more signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverances, all those type things, if we would just even attempt to use the authority that I know we have. If you're born again, you have authority. You just need to learn how to use it and operate in it. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at right now.
The presence of God. Yes, that's what we need. Early in my Christian life, I found a church in California where they worshiped God and praised Him in such a mighty strong way until they felt God's presence, and there was a manifestation of God's presence. The place would like glow, like a light all around, and there was a choir that would worship and praise God. And this would go on maybe for an hour or a couple hours, and they wanted the presence of God before they started their service.
Yeah.
I said that quickly, and that presence of God, they had to worship, they spent time at it, and yeah, that's one thing that you are teaching and focusing on is the presence of God. And as you said,
yeah,
God's presence is central in theory to every believer, but it's critical for us to apply action to our belief.
Yeah.
And oh, I love that. That seems to be so important now when you go to church. If God's presence isn't there, it's a failure,
yeah,
you know? It's just,
yeah,
words.
Well, absolutely. And in all reality, if God's presence isn't there, why are we doing it? You know, that's a social event. That's a fellowship, you know, and I mean, that's, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to host the presence of God. You know, I I know I'm one of the fivefold guys, you know. Ephesians 4 tells us apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I am one of those guys. And, you know, my heart is I wish every spiritual leader in the body of Christ understood that we are to be equippers. And, you know, my main job is not to preach or teach some, you know, cool thing and you know, just dazzle everybody with what all I know. You know, a lot of people are super charismatic and they're wonderful speakers and they just stir you up and, you know, and all that's great. But if people aren't being equipped in the body of Christ, then the fivefold gifts are not doing their job. And, you know, and some people don't like to hear that. And I understand that we might not like to hear it. But I have to remind myself all the time. And I do my own self-evaluation. You know, I think about some of the people that have been a part of my life for the last couple of years. And so I want to remember them. I want to remember how they were when I first met them. And then I want to honestly evaluate where they are now. And if they're much further in growth and maturity and operating in, you know, the power gifts and praying for the sick and seeing some healings and doing deliverances on a regular basis and all that type of stuff, then I know I am equipping them. I am making a difference in their life. But if I didn't do this self-evaluation, and I'm not self-judging myself. I'm just kind of taking note of, you know, where were people when I met them? Where are they now? Are they growing? And if not, I wonder, you know, I need to find out why and what can I do to tweak that? That's how I operate in the, you know, the kingdom. That's how I operate for people that come around a lot. Don't actually have a church, but I do a lot of meetings. And so I still get to see people on a regular basis. But I think if every one of us spiritual leaders would just do a self-evaluation and take a good, honest look, because the Lord reminds me that, you know, I'm going to stand in His presence someday and give account for equipping, because I know that's what I am. And I need to make sure I do it. So anyway, I see a hunger in the body of Christ, Jim, that I haven't seen. I don't think I've ever seen it. I just see a group of people that are so hungry for God. I did a meeting last Saturday in Indiana, and there was this four women who drove over from Cincinnati to Indiana, and they drove probably an hour and a half or more to come to a meeting. And so when I found that out, I just, you know, I sat down, you know, a big public meeting, and I just kind of sat down in front of them and talked to them a minute and then prayed a blessing over them. And to see the hunger in their face, to see the tears running down their face, and it just reminded me that, you know, that God has given me this incredible responsibility for, you know, these hungry individuals in the body of Christ. And my job is to help take them further down the path, right? It's not only me, of course, you know, but it's part of my job to do that. And I think if we would all just look at this responsibility that God has given us as spiritual leaders, and sometimes we just need to sit and watch some of our people just, you know, as they're worshiping God or as they're praying or whatever, just take a good look and look at them through the eyes of the Father. You know, can you envision Father God looking at that son or that daughter? And what do you think He's thinking about them? You know, what do you think His heart is for them? And I really try to catch the heart of the Father for everybody that I minister to. And I want that to be in every meeting that we have. So, you know, if there's 100 people in a room, I want that atmosphere to be one where the Father's love just pours out over everybody, because I know He is so excited for what's happening in these lives. And anyway, it could be an exciting, fun trip. I'm just so blessed. I'm so surprised sometimes that God lets us do this kind of stuff. You know, I'm like, God, you're just so good to us.
Good point. He lets us do it. Yes, I call myself a volunteer.
Yes, I agree. You know, God is wanting to move in the lives of people, I believe, at an accelerated rate. You know, I think we've seen some addition in the lives of people, meaning, you know, they grew a little bit this year, they grew a little bit, you know, that year. I think God's ready to move from addition to multiplication. I think he's going to do not like, you know, plus two, but times two. Yeah, I really believe that's what he wants to do now. I think he wants to do in 1 year what it used to take five, you know, or in, you know, 2 years what it used to take 15. And the hungrier you are, and the more you just press into the more of God. And you know, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to figure everything out, you know, but it's more about a heart attitude. If you just go after God the best you know how with everything that you got, I think those people are going to be blessed so much this coming year. You know, times are tough for a lot of people. A lot of people are confused. You know, the COVID-19 thing, which, by the way, what we've been doing, we did get shut out for quite a while because we work with different churches and we don't have our own building, so we work with these different. Actually, several churches around the greater Cincinnati area. So a lot of people shut down for a while. But what we started doing as we were meeting was we started coming against COVID-19. And my declaration in every meeting we ever did was no one can bring COVID-19 into this room. Nobody can catch COVID-19 here. COVID-19 is not allowed in any of our meetings. And so what we're trying to do with people is say, look, we don't need to sit back and wait to see what will happen. We know it's a real thing. I've heard of people passing from it, and I understand all that. But how much are we coming against this thing that definitely is not of God? The devil comes to steal, kill, destroy. God comes to give life and life more abundantly. So we just went after that thing in our meeting saying nobody will catch it here. Nobody's, you know, if somebody tries to come in, you know, with it, and maybe they don't even know they have it, but they're trying to come in and they have it. They're healed when they walk in the door. We were making declarations like that, and we didn't have anybody to date. We haven't had anybody get COVID-19 in any of our meetings. I have some, you know, friends from churches that I know about that have had situations like that. But one of the ways I think we need to remember how God operates, right? So we need to decree and declare what we want to see. We need to stand. We need to walk in authority. And, you know, I'm not saying it works every time, but what I am saying is if you do it, you'll see much more results from making declarations like that. You won't see what a lot of people see. And we can make those same kind of declarations. You know, I tell everybody, man, speak against that. Tell us not allowed in your house. It's not allowed in your family. And, you know, and people are starting to catch the heart of that. And once again, to me, that is walking in spiritual authority that you have, speaking to this enemy that would want to come in and do some kill, steal, destroy in your household. So just speak to it ahead of time and say, no, you know, it's much better to keep sickness and disease out of your house than to pray for it after it's in your house. That's the way I see it. So I keep, you know, that's my goal. You know, not everybody's successful 100% of the time, but I think we can get there, though. I'm looking forward to the day, Jim, when the body of Christ, those that kept pressing into this, where we can walk in divine health. Divine health is better than praying for healing and even seeing the healing, because divine health is you don't get sick.
Yes.
I do believe that's possible. I do believe that's possible.
Yes.
I'm not there yet. All right, buddy.
Okay. So today we had Harold Overslake from Open Heaven Ministries. Harold and Donna Overslake are the ones that are over that ministry. I thank you, Harold. God bless.
God bless you, my friend.
Okay.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net. Come fly with Global Air Force.